But turn your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 to 19. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the word of life. It is time now, Father, asking for your presence and your anointing, Lord, for strength to minister thy word and the years that we're here, Father. In praying, the Lord, that thy people, thy saints, O Lord, will be able to understand, Father, Lord, the important of the subject of the manifestation of the sons of God in regard to our adoption. Father, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to talk today in part. I want to break this message into two parts because I'm very tired because I've been preaching really hard over there in Manila for the first 2 days. That practically my throat becomes so bad. Went down south, the air is really bad, you know, the pollution, so don't worry, and came back. My throat was really sore and I would say a little infected. I slept, and last night was my second night back home, sleeping, and wow, I thought that was really bad because the whole of this trachea, it's bothering me. It's painful. It's, you know, and so last night I didn't sleep well, and I got up this morning. I was thinking, oh my, I've got a giddiness, a headache, a little bit. But you know, I got up and just pray and leave it everything to the hands of the Lord. I have never missed my place of ministry. Always standing before the Lord in the pulpit, even at a time when my throat is real bad. And thinking about this, I remember once when I was in Zambia, it was so terrible, my throat was really hoarse and bad and painful. And, you know, the following day I thought I would not be able to minister, but I still ministered very softly with the mic. And the wonderful thing is that while I was ministering, the pain was so bad, I was into about 15 minutes, I think. The testimony was still on the website. I think about 15 minutes into the preaching, the pain suddenly disappeared and my throat became very normal. You know, and that's a very unusual miracle that I've expected. You know, and all of a sudden the pain just disappeared. You know, and I started raising my voice, and Brother Peter was very surprised. He was sitting and listening to what I was preaching. He said, "My goodness, what's wrong with Brother Gunn? That's going to stretch that throat real bad." But I looked at him and said, "Brother Peter, some miracle had just happened." You know, so I look to the Lord for strength to get this word across to you. Now, concerning the manifestations of the sons of God, you know, everybody in the Christian world have different ideas as to this word manifestation of the sons of God. And many of them, there are some denominations that teach us that the sons of God, the saints, will manifest something miraculous during their lifetime before the rapture starts. You know, and some, of course, when looking into the Bible, we realize that manifestation of the sons of God must go beyond the rapture, not before the rapture. So now, I want to say that we look at the condition of the world today. You can see we are living, we're already past 2012. We survived 21-12-12, right? And of course, with all that, you know, human beings are such that they are very emotional. They easily are persuaded. They are easily deceived. and they can just hear what a person tells them, and you know, with persuasion, with indoctrination over time, people tend to believe it, and they would just be part of that, what we call, taken up by that teaching or doctrine or whatever is projected. But we look at the world today, there's rioting, there's rebellion, there's restlessness, there's murder, there's immorality, drugs, theft. Practically, the world is in chaos. The Bible said the sins of the world will increase, will abound. But we thank God, being God's children, that the grace of God do much more abundantly in our life. We thank God for that. If without this grace of God in our life, in this world that is chaotic, with the sins that are rampant, I can tell you one thing, if we don't have the word of God guiding us, then we probably will be swayed to and fro. We'll be caught up with all the things that is in the world today. Now, mind you that, as I said this, Brother Bam used to preach one message called One Man's Influence. And every one of us, we can be an influence to others. But there are men who are very charismatic, men who are very oratorical, who is very persuasive, men like a Hitler, for example. You know, he stood in the podium and he yelled his head up and stirred up the emotion of his, you know, the Germans and to fight and create a war and so on and so forth. One man's influence, and he started the Second World War. You see, you have one man's influence, one man like Brother Branham, influenced, you know, the life of many Christians. So, every one of us can have the power to influence others to what we believe. But the thing is that in Christianity right now, as you look at what the world is, situation is like, what is happening in the physical natural world with all the chaos and all this that's going on, it is happening also in the World Council of Churches or in the Christian world as well. There's all this chaos, all this restlessness that's going on there, the rebelliousness that's among the leaders in the church. You know. So, we see the world is now in the shape where the climate has changed, and we are going to expect a lot more typhoon, storms, you know, blizzard, flooding, droughts, earthquakes, tsunami, because the earth has tilted. According to what the scientists, this data, this is, I don't know by how many cm it's been tilted. And a whole lot of ice have melted up there in the Arctic and also in the Antarctic. And that's why the water level of the sea has risen. And because of that, Singapore flood more often, because if the heavy rain comes, the tide is always, the level of water has already risen. So, if the rain comes and the tide comes up, the water won't go out. And because of the amount of water is out there in the sea, it changes the, you know, the patterns of low and high, and that's why you get all this typhoon, you know. And in fact, almost every day now, you see out there, and if you look at a satellite map, you know, the imagery, you can see all the clouds that's forming. Very often, it's keep on rolling around in circles as if it's going to build up a typhoon. You know, not long after Bopa, another one came. What do you call it? Genies or whatever the name of they were given to it. You know, they came over in Leyte. You know, and I think this year will be a terrible year, 2013 for the Philippines. There'll be more of this flooding and more of this typhoon. And we pray that the Lord would keep those that are His. No man has damaged the earth, and that's why the Bible says in the book of Matthew 24, men will destroy themselves, not just because of the atomic bomb or the nuclear bomb. You know, the Bible said in the book of, I think, James or Peter, he said that the powers of the heaven will be shaken. The word heaven, the powers of the heaven, the word there means it's a source of, it comes from a word or real, or like uranium. It has to mean the power of something big. And if we will look at what is going on today, we see men build all these things. We get all these disasters like Fujikuma. What is that?
Fukushima.
That nuclear plant destruction. Back in earlier time, Chernobyl, and even there are some leakage in some of the plant over in America. You know. So everything is, you know, when men will destroy this earth because of the thing that they are doing. There's no way that you can stop it now. Logging, people just, you know, cut down trees. And so what happened to the world? And so we see that the Bible said it's true. The earth is shaking and travailing. And we are all, and they are all waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So now let us go to the book of Romans chapter 1. There are a lot of verses we're going to look at, and we're going to bring it up to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burnt in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meant. Work which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of every murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiter, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant maker, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, looking at what Paul wrote here, in fact, some thousands of years ago, we see what we see today, it has become much more so than it was back then. Is that right? And in fact, many countries now are, the men are seeking for gay marriage. Women are seeking for lesbian marriage. Lesbianism. It's still called gay, huh? Gay marriage. So woman with woman, man with man. And when they adopt a child, I can tell you one thing, that child is going to go bonkers. They don't even, the child doesn't even know what's going on. How come I have two fathers? Or how come I have two mothers? How did I arrive you know. And you raise, and two gay men, two homosexual men, raised up a child in the home, and then a man and the little boy or little girl, when they raise them, him or her up, and these two men in the morning when they come up, make breakfast, and they sit goodbye to each other, to go to work, they kiss each other. Man and man kissing, woman and woman kissing. Oh, that little kid is going to get a bit confused. You know. So this is the world we are living in today. It's getting worse. And God is, and the Bible says God gave them up to a reprobate mind. And there's no such thing as homosexual, when you continue to practice in that way, yes, homosexual can be saved if they turn away from that unto God. But if they continue in the way that they are going, the Bible said, all such unfaithfulness have no place in heaven. Their place is in damnation. So this is the condition we look today. Look into the book of Luke chapter 17. We are just referring a lot of scripture here. So that, because I found out last Friday, still a lot of you don't quite understand a lot of things. It seems that, I don't know, I think I should give you all a test one day. Scripture test. I know that maybe 80% of you will fail. Out of 10 questions, simple question, perhaps you got only 2 right. That would be very terrible for me. I would be ashamed of myself that I didn't impart to you the knowledge of truth. I think that you all need to be more open in understanding the Word of God. Not only what you hear here, go back, study. Do your own study. You have to. You understand? That's because we are facing the future that is still ahead of us. We still have, you know, Christ is not going to come next year, you know, so soon, because prophecy has yet to be fulfilled. So whatever is coming, there will be economic crisis. Okay, there will be a lot of problems in the world. And what one country like America, if something happened there economically, it will affect the whole world. There will be inflation and recession and this and that. So, you know, so things have to be adjusted. So you need to have the strength. And of course, like Brother Clement said, Lord, trust in the Lord. And trust God with the heart. Right? You see, and whatever you want to do, do it with your heart that's in God to do it right. Ask God for wisdom. Okay? So let us look in the book of Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They eat, they drank, They married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This is the day we live in. The day when the Son of Man's ministry in Brother Branham was brought, made known to us. And we see what is going on all today. People married, given in marriage, and in fact, it is very true today that there's more, that divorce rate has skyrocketed. Years ago in Singapore, there is only one divorce perhaps in 20 marriages. Yeah? Then it jumped to one in 12, and then one in 10. In America, I think it's one in 6 marriage and in divorce. You know? So people are married after a year or two, we're not compatible, so let's divorce, and then maybe another one. You see, whether you're compatible or not compatible is not known until you're married. But once you're married, it's married for life. You see, and that's what it is all about, love in marriage. Outside of marriage, it is all maybe just a Twinkle, I think, you know, the eye twinkle, twinkle thing. You see. Because when Isaac got Rebecca, Isaac never knew Rebecca. Neither Rebecca concerning Isaac. And when they married, that's where they developed. Love developed in marriage. You see. Right? Okay, so we don't want to behave like the people of the world. Let us consider the word of God seriously. Now for you Christian, for us who are believers, we're looking on the long term because our home is not here. This world is not our home. We are merely passing through on the pilgrimage to the place beyond the sky. So that's why we need to consider who we are, what we are. We are not here born, you know, eat, study, get married, have a family, grow old, and die. That's not life. Life is a relationship with the Father in heaven, to know Him, and why we are put here on this earth. Because we are here right now at this time, we are here being adopted, we are being here being tutored by the Word of God. So that when we pass the test, we go over all the other side, and then come back in the age of regeneration, that's when God will manifest all His children to the world. Alright, so seeing all this condition, let us go to Romans 8 again. Romans chapter 8. And verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And all we say is that do not rephrase the Word of God anyhow you like. Don't put the cart before the horse, that's to say. Now we read this verse very carefully because many people have said that, oh, I'm a son of God, I will be led by the Spirit. That is not true. But the Bible said here, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You cannot say, because I'm a son of God, I will be led by the Spirit. Do you see the difference? There are a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm being led by the Spirit. You can pray. You say, Lord, lead me, lead me. And then, well, you know, you make a decision, you already make up your decision to go whatever you want to do. And yet you ask God to lead you. You understand? So a lot of Christians, they are not really led by the Spirit. They lead themselves. Huh? Do you see what I'm talking about? Yes. Well, very simple. Now, we all know that thou shalt not covet. Okay? We all know that, don't we? Yeah, sure. But you know, every year there is always a big, what we call, sum of money in the total, in the lottery draw. Is that right? Chinese New Year draw, $6 million. And you see a whole queue of people queuing up to buy a coupon. Or a ticket. What do you call that, ticket? You know. And you say, yeah, now you're not covered. You walk down and you say, wow, $6 million. And, well, you know what, sometimes you're so tempted, maybe you just step into it and buy $5, $10. Or maybe you say, give me one big shot, $50. And hopefully that you might strike a top price of $6 million. Isn't it? Yeah, you are saying that I'm a child of God, I'm being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. It's just that why are people so tempted by different things in this life? We all have temptation. We all have weaknesses. That's why Brother Graham said, I hug I my weakness. You understand? Huh? You see, the world today is filled with sexual attraction. You read this report about India, how that that student is being raped in public by six men. She died, of course, yesterday. Sent here to Singapore to live with all the trauma that she had in her body, and the boyfriend were also belted with iron rod. You know. So, it's very common. In India, they rape women. In many countries, they rape. In America, they rape even their niece and their, I don't know, the grandchild too. It's a very common thing that is going on. You know. We all, because of what happened in the garden, it sex and the sex become a problem in the world today. You see. And I know one thing. I told you this testimony, I've told you before. When I was in America with the family, and Zohar and Zohi were young, we came back from, we took the flight to Hawaii to spend some time. So the plane arrived, and you know, my wife and the kids were all tired, slept in the hotel, the day was still young, or the night time was still young, it's only around 8 o'clock. So I took a stroll down Waikiki. You know, Waikiki is a place where there's a lot of tourists. And back in those days, in the 80s, it was really bad. It was really bad. You know, and with people, with tourists walking around, here you have young girls. I think you call them hookers or whatever you want to call it, prostitute or harlot. You know, and they were pastor people. You know, they were pastor young people, foreigners. And one thing I learned is, well, you know, I was approached a few times. Walking down, and they came up to me, you want to date this and that, and I look at them, pretty young girls. I says, no. He said, you don't have $20 to spare? I said, I have. Don't want you date? No. And he kept walking. And when I walked down, there's this pharmacies, and a young girl went after an elder, and a man who looks, you know, in his 40 or 50, harassing him all the way into the pharmaceutical store. Until the man was so fed up, raised his voice and shouted at her and said, you harlot, what do you think you're trying to do? Hustling all the people around him. You know, over the years later, Waikiki has you know, they clean up the nail of the place. I think they clean up the whole place. It was very clean. Now you don't see people, girls walking around like this. Even when I went over to Manila, I told the brother, please get me a hotel, make sure that the place is no girls hanging around, no pups around. Because the first time I went there, they put me on in one, the woman, girls came knocking at the door. And I don't know who was knocking at the door, open up, there was a woman out there and asked, you want service? I says, no, I didn't know that. You know, the next day I check out the hotel and stay with the brother in his home. We are living in a world where you have all this thing that is going on. What we say, handling and try to destroy the spiritual life of believers. There are a lot of things that is on the internet. Every time, I don't know why people send you all the garbage. You know, because when emails are all over, people, they use what, spider or crawlers or centipede or whatever, sort of a software to crawl all the internet and get all the email addresses. You know, some ask me to buy, what do you call lucky draw, this Euro or America big lottery draw. And some will ask me to buy a Viagra and a Ciliaris or whatever. And other will come and this, what you want, I want to talk to you. You know, I'm the Facebook. All the funny thing comes in. I mean, where did they come from? You know, somebody is selling it or whatever. People are using it in a crowd, you know. And even, of course, churches are trying to sell me their doctrine. You know, and they ask me to go to your website, they have this special, oh my goodness, all the funny, strange doctrine that they are teaching. And even the Muslims are trying to convince their faith upon me. That Allah is the only God, there is no God but Allah, you know, and prove that Quran is true. You see, the whole internet world is a big crazy wet now. Right? And I have all these believers out there who send me what we call an email link and say, come and see my new photo or my picture on my Facebook, Twitter, and don't know what else. What do you want me to see your picture on your Twitter or your Facebook? That's why I don't join Facebook, I don't join Twitter. Everybody wants to expose themselves to the world. You know. So, we are living in a world like this. It's become a very tempting thing. With all the electronic gadgets that are now available to us, you know, and even able to produce, we already see 3D without having to put on a spectacle. They are trying to improve it to make it really good. So a lot of things is on the market. And what do we as Christians do about our life when we face with all these things? As the Bible said, as Solomon said, vanity, all is vanity. And is it not true? Yes. Like, for example, you know, you go to a tour. You go on a tour, you take your camera along, you buy an expensive camera, $1,000, $2,000 camera, you start taking it. You take, wow, my goodness, 64 gigabytes of pictures. Big, huge one. You know, then after another month or two, you go on another tour. You take so many thousands of pictures. Let me ask you, what do you do with those pictures? Yeah? He said, come, I'll show you where I've been. I'm not interested because you've been to that place. You see, I'm not there. I don't see. I see only pictures. If I want to know anything about other country, I'd rather watch a documentary. Right? About Taiwan, perhaps about China. Because you have been there, so you can describe to me what was recently in the last year or two, and you know, some of you have brothers and sisters have been to Taiwan, what do you call that place? It's a strange name that I forgot now. Something about like five something or whatever the place is. It sounds a bit funny to me. Alishan. What is that place?
Alishan.
No. What is that place? No. It's another one. I think you, Sister Ellie went there to together with you. Is it funny? Huh? Ju Chai Gu. Yeah. Ju Chai Gu. Sounds very funny to me. I mean, Ja Chai Gu. Or something like that. I mean, you say, how beautiful that is, how beautiful that is. I mean, you describe to me, show me a picture. Yeah, it's just like a village. You know, yeah, the scenery is nice. You know? So it's only to you know, but not to me. So you want to put it on the Twitter, on the Facebook, asking brother and sister to go and see it? I mean, who is interested in that? And you keep all those thousands of pictures in your home, maybe on your computer, or maybe you print them and put on the albums. Do you think that you spend time looking, and maybe it's just for your memory? I mean, I took pictures of Zoa and Zoe when they were, you know, babies. You know, every day you take, every week you take to see how they grow, you know. Now, they're already big. If all what you have with those albums is stuck up there in the shelf. Right? You understand? Okay, now Zoe is married out. Zoe is going to get married. So, me and my wife alone, sometimes, maybe we cried a little bit about the little baby now that we have raised up now, a big man married, they're going to have their own family. Let me look at the picture. Oh, look at this little baby. Look how cute he was when he was young, blah, blah, blah. That's about it. But all things of anything, this thing will perish. In the simplicity, that's what the Bible tells us as a Christian, that we should be contented, huh, with what we have. And that's why I find very strange that in the preaching that I heard, you know, let me say this, there is no such thing as there is no poor churches. There will always be poor churches in the world. In a country like America, in a city, everybody got perhaps have a job and money is strong, and so they have a proper nice building, you know, so the people are not considered poor. But yet they have poor people outside the church, they might come into the church, right? Yes. You know, here we cannot say in Singapore, I don't think I would say that as far as as the population goes. We are not poor people. Is that right? Are we poor people?
No.
Those who are poor are those who are abandoned by their children. Old ladies and old men out there, they are abandoned by their children. By the way, there's no poor people here. So Singapore, there's no poor churches. Look at the church, how rich they are. Look at this charismatic church. But in the Philippines, well, if you live in a city, well, many of the churches are well off. But now in the south, in those provinces, it's different. Same thing in India. In the city, it's okay. But right now, in the village, it's another situation. Over in Africa, in the city, it's okay. Right in the jungle, it's another situation. You cannot say that there's no poor churches. Why would God specially bless the people in the city and not bless the people in poor villages? No. The Bible tells us to be contented. God doesn't make us millionaire. You let that spirit gets into the church, they will be preaching that God is a multimillionaire, wanting everybody to be rich. That is nonsense. I am rich not because I have money. I'm rich because I have the Spirit of God. I'm rich because I have God. I'm rich, isn't it? Because I have the Word of Life. I'm rich because I have God's presence. I'm rich because I know where I'm going. That's what makes me rich. Spiritual prosperity. Not physical or natural prosperity. You see. So, with that in mind, let us go to 1st Ephesians. Ephesians 1. So remember, if you are really a child of God, a son of God, you will be led by the Spirit of God only if you fulfill the Word. Right? So as you are being led by the Spirit of God, you know where the Spirit of God will lead you. He leads you only in His Word, to fulfill His Word in you. That's why I said over there, because of the teaching that is going to encourage people believing, we all know that if God started a work in you, He's going to finish it. Right? The Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Because what? You see, we're not doing a work in ourselves. It is God doing a work in us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He make us accepted in the beloved. Now then go to chapter 2, and in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now you understand what He's saying here? We are His workmanship. God has predestined at us. We have not chosen God. God has chosen us. Salvation is not by our work. There is nothing good in you or me. Is that right, Brother Jensen? Is there any good in any one of you? Can you say, I'm a good girl, a good boy? None is good. The Bible says there is no, not one. So when God chose us, it's because He loves us. And He chose us. By His own election, by His foreknowledge, He chose us whom He will. He be gracious to whom He will be gracious. And so we realize in chapter 2 it says that we are His workmanship. You know what a workman, what woman he made by a workmanship means that he like a potter. Or we are the clay. He shaped us the way we should be. We are His workmanship. And there will notice what He says here. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we should walk in the good word and the good works of the Lord. Right? And for the work to be fulfilled, we must have the word in us to fulfill the work. That's why I said that it's not that, oh yeah, I believe in the Malachi 4, 5, and 6, I have the token, I believe Brahma Pranam, I believe in the super scene, and this and that and everything. You think that you make the rapture? Yeah, we know that God started working in us, He will finish it. But along the way, remember, God will chastise us if we do not conform to the word. He will always drag us back to the word, because He will use that rod of His word to hit us. Because each time we make a mistake, we should learn from that mistake and not repeat the same mistake. Is that a common sense? Yes, sir. That's why when I was here, when I was in the, you know, in primary school, 2 + 2 = 4. And if I do not know that 2 + 2 = 4, I put 2 + 2 = 5. And the teacher will tell me, no, it is 2 + 2 = 4. Now, if I commit the same mistake again, you know what a teacher would do? In those days, knuckles. Put your knuckles out like that, and he used the ruler and hit the knuckle. It really hurts. Not the flat side of a ruler, huh? It's a sharp, the edge of the ruler, and knock it. So, after that, I remember. So every mistake like that, that's why the chastening comes, to make you to remember. You see? It's painful. Sometimes we waste our resources, our money, our time, you know, spending it on things that are not relevant, something that is have no purpose in our life, and we just spend. You see. So as far as the word is concerned, you are to feed on this word. Because God is taking this word in you, that is in you, to make you to do the work that He wants you to do. Now I'm talking about we are talking about our walk with God until we come to that place where we are manifest to the whole world who we are. How many of you believe that you are sons and daughters today? Amen. You believe that you are sons of God? Amen. Yes. But the world don't see you as sons of God. Do they see you as sons of God? They just see you as a human. Right. If you work with a colleague, the colleague just see you as a friend or a colleague. You know. And they ask you, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. Huh? And you don't even know what the son of God is. They say, what? You're a son of God? You see. So until the time comes, God will manifest us to the world. Okay? Alright, now let's look at the word adoption. Now let me just write this here in case you people do not know. Let me write it to it. If you do not know the word, sometimes images, I was told that image will, you know, what you call demonstration or pictures, you will retain that word. In your mind. Adoption. Alright. Now we are looking at adoption. Now the word adoption. What do you understand by the word adoption? What must be before a person can be adopted? What sort of person is that person before you can say that he is adopted? He must be an orphan. Right? You understand? Okay? But today, of course, it's not necessarily be an orphan. There are people that sell their children. In the country, they sell their children for $100, $200, that sort of thing is sold. So the person who bought it, adopt this, but it's not really adoption, it's a purchase. That sort of thing. Alright? So, in the book of John, chapter 14, see what the Bible says here. Verse 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In other words, the word comfortless, I think in some other translation, I will not leave you fatherless. Is that right? It is, I will not leave you as an orphan. Okay? That's what the Bible said. So, we need to be adopted by God. And why is it? Because we are become orphan by natural birth into this world of sin. We came to this world not knowing God. We know, of course, our physical father, our physical mother. Right? But we're not talking about physical parents. We're talking about a spiritual parent. Because God already knew us from the foundation of the world. Is that right? He had ordained us to be son and daughter of God. But we came into this world not knowing God. Like an orphan. You know, not knowing the father, not knowing his mother. Walking the street, dirty himself, pick up garbage, food from the dustbin, and things like that. So you know what an orphan is? You know, sometimes you see an orphan. Yeah, especially in India. They're walking down the streets, you know, and in the clean clothes, and here come all these urchins. Coming out, they're dirty, they're filthy. They come and touch you and ask you for money, you know, and things like that, they're back. Now, of course, some of these are actually abandoned by their parents, and so they start begging. And they're really dirty, as you say, they're cast off. And people, some people I have seen, when this, all these people come, they just chase them, and they kick them away, and you know. And so, often I like this. We came into this world, we kick around. We do not know God. We wander the street, we wander this world, where is our home? You know. So, even though there are people that are seeking after God, whether they seek and they enter into a temple, they seek God and enter into a Hindu temple, or they are seeking for God, they go into a church or go into a mosque or whatever they want to look for. That person that they could have a relationship with. But you know what? When we walk into this, we came to this world, we don't know God. We don't know anything about a relationship. It is God that can capify us. Did you really search for God? When I was young, yes, I, in a way, I look around, I see, of course, you know, my father, he has two wives. And his first wife, of course, it's a Buddhist. And, of course, on the side, there's some sort of Taoism. And so every festive season, there is an altar of a Tope Kong, or I don't know what, there must be a Tope Kong, because, you know, the one with the beard thing, you know. It looks like a Tope Kong with the sitting there and the painting and the candle lights on both sides. Now they use electric one. Okay. And then there are some fruits always there. And so festivals they come, there are chickens and food offered to the idol. So I was young, of course, I said, I don't know nothing about it. She, my father's first wife being the mother of the house. So all the children line up. Pray to this Tope Kong. And so everybody line up, three joysticks in the hand, everybody queue up. That's it. And then of course, you all look down, after finish, everybody queue up. Look, what happened to the food? The food was not eaten by the Tope Kong, so it was brought down, and we all had it. So it was kind of a bit strange as young, trying to figure out something like that. You know? But it doesn't. I have no connection with that. You know what I mean? Even though as young as a Bushman, there's no connection. But when my mom started to talk to us about Jesus, that name rings a bell. That's very strange, you know. It's just the name Jesus. Just that name. You know, and what he did in the story of the gospel, that one started to ring a bell. Started to ring, and into my heart it goes. So I went into the church, and then one day I heard the gospel preached, really preached, and I cried my heart out, I went to the altar. You see, God found me. By His Spirit, He dragged me back to Himself. I wasn't looking for God. You see, So from that time on, of course, I seek God earlier and worship Him. And so it becomes something different now. So I was an orphan. And as Jesus said here, I will not leave you fatherless. I will come to you. Romans 3. Chapter 3, verse 10 to 18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that do good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is talking about sinners. A lot of people don't really fear God now. You see, all those six men that raped their poor Indian paramedic student. They have other, I mean, raped. Even yesterday's paper report about 17-year-old girl that was raped, and she tried to find, report from the police to take action. The police says, why don't you just marry one of those three men who raped you? That's the problem. And this has been a teaching in Africa, in the entire message. They teach that if a rapist raped you, you're automatically married to him, according to the law of the Word of God, which I don't know where they get it. And if you don't marry him, the rapist will rape you, you must remain single for the rest of your life, because you have a husband. What kind of an idiotic teaching is that? Marry the rapist? Who rape you not for love? Who rape you because to fulfill his sexual desire, his sexual urge? And you have to marry him? What is that? If a rapist is a man who forces himself on a woman and who is very violent, and you're going to marry him, he's going to beat you up, and you don't know what he's going to do to you. And what kind of madness is this for a preacher to teach that nonsense? You see? So we are living in a world like this, as the Bible said, yes, no, nobody fear God. A lot of people don't fear God. How many of us fear God? Even a lot of us who say we are Christian and we are believer, many of us don't even fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To know who He is and what He will do. But don't take for granted that, oh, God is full of mercy. God is full of grace. But don't make the grace of God a disgrace. Don't make the grace of God as if that, oh, He's full of grace, He'll show you mercy no matter what. But yeah, He will show you. He will cut short your life. He will cut short your life. Just remember the good shepherd who lived the 99 and seek for the lost sheep that went astray. But if this lost sheep had been too often going astray, you know what I already told you what the shepherd would do to the lamb? He'll break his two legs. You know, and bandage him. And hold him on his shoulder everywhere he goes until that broken bone is healed up. Then that time when the splint is taken off, the cast is taken off, that lamb will surely be where the shepherd is. He will never leave the shepherd's side. That's how God would teach a person. Or chastise a person. Because I said, after all, the Bible says God has no master in His family. Right? God has no master children. And don't forget that God will never be a grandfather. Soon I'll be a grandfather, but God will never be a grandfather. God will always only have children, no grandchildren. So don't always hold your parents as if your parents is a Christian, they'll make you give you a guarantee that you'll be part of the family of God? No. Every individual one must be born again. And look at the sons of the prophet, Brother Brandon. Look at the way of life that they are living. They'll give account to God on that day. And how God will judge them? I have no idea. But John, don't think because my father is a prophet, that makes me special. No. You see. Look at the Bible in the Old Testament of Eli, the high priest. Look at what his two sons did. A corrupt. So let us hold fast to the word of the Lord. Psalms 51, 5. What up, Peter Tan? You don't have a Bible with you?
Okay.
Bring your Bible every time. There is no such thing as forget. Alright? Psalms 51, 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, before you were born, you already, as a child inside you, you're conceived already as a sinner, because you're flesh. You're born into this world in a fallen nature, huh? And you grow up as a baby. You already acquire that. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, sorry. And verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we want to go our own way. Before iniquity, we go our own way. But what about God's way? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, 13 to 14. Enter ye in at the gate, at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. They lead to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So what a broad way? What is a broad way? Oh, that's why, you know, in Hollywood they call it a broad way. You heard about, you know what a Broadway? Yeah, Broadway production. Broadway. And all that. King, all that stuff. You know? So, now Broadway is Hollywood and all the places. And no wonder Broadway said that place is going to go down into the sea. It's terrible. That place is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know? Yeah, there are multi-millionaire, billionaire people living there in that place. But you know, I never been to that place. But you can see in a documentary or news or whatever it is, movie, that you have these places are real bad. They even have a nudist beach, or women go nude outside there on the beach someplace. Yeah. Scantily dressed, bikini. The whole place is very terrible, corrupt. And there are a lot of crimes out there too. In California, LA, San Francisco, and Hollywood, and all those places. Right? Broad is the way. If you want the things of the world, they're all vanity. If you want the things of the world, that's the broad way, and you enter into destruction. So now, even if you are rich, what is it? What do you do with the riches of material things? Your gold, your silver, your money. How do you use those money? Some people say, there are people that spend their time into the middle of the night watching on their screen, you know, internet, about the stock, when it goes up or go down, when to buy, what to buy, you know. They're spending their life investing, buying, selling. Well, that is easy money if you know what you're doing. Right? The moment it's 4, this one is good. Buy! Next moment, 2 minutes later, it goes up 2 cents. Sell! But you buy thousands and thousands of them. Oh, you make money just like that. You know, when I went to Chain Jelly, I have not been to Chain Jelly, I went there for just to for my chiropractic treatment, just to maintain my spine. And I've not been there for so many years, because when I was young, I used to go there to buy and exchange stamps. I collect those stamps, you know, postage stamps. So when I went there, oh, it's still the same old Chinchelli. You call it Chinchelli, you call it Chinchelli. So I change Ellie. And it's a very narrow passage only, you know. And you can hardly move. Because in almost every two or three stores or shops, it's a money changer. And the queue, my goodness, I'm not saying, almost every one of them, the queue is just so long, cut across the path, some of them have to break, stand on that side. You know? Just so many. And money changes hand so fast. So people buy US dollars, they buy at this certain rate, the money changer earns 2 cents, okay, per dollar, and then somebody else wants to sell the US dollar, he sells to them, he makes 2 cents out of that, that's 4 cents. Within, you know, hours and minutes just passes by. How many thousands of dollars the money changer's pocket? You know, buying and selling, they do lose, you know what I mean? Don't lose. Even the increase is very minor, but they still make a whole lot of money. That's why the money changers are very afraid of robbers. So, is your life all tied up with the wealth of the world? Things that you can gain? Covetousness of the things of this world? Man, I think that's a miserable life. Huh? But just because you retire, doesn't mean it's good. Also. Retirement sometimes can lead to early death. Huh? Do something beneficial. You must keep yourself active in every way. You keep yourself active. And one of the best things in being active is, of course, you spend your time studying, and the time at home you can move around and singing. Yeah, sometimes I'm very happy when I see in the Philippines, you know, when I was in the home of the sisters or family. You know, they're so happy when they cook, they sing. So the food is tasted better when they really rejoice in the Lord, just to really rejoice in the Lord and sing, really happy. That's why, as I said, when you go to the toilet and take a shower, sing. It's good. You never know what miracle can happen when you sing in the toilet. Huh? Get up in the morning, just thank God for today. Keep me and guide me. Go back to sleep in the night, lift up and thank God for this day. You know. That's good exercise. I told you that's good exercise. Alright? Let's continue. Hebrew chapter 6, chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to refer to all these scripture verses so that we can either have a picture of this message. 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, without faith it is impossible to please him. Without revelation, without a trust in which you know that God is God, if you don't have that trust in God, that faith in God, you cannot please God. God doesn't want you to be a wishy-washy. Huh? I don't know how that term comes about, wishy-washy. You wish something and you're washing it. You're washing it. So wishy-washy. One moment you wish for this thing, then you wash it away, and then you wish for another thing, and then you wash that away. So it's wishy-washy. So God doesn't want a wishy-washy person. For him that comes to God must believe that he exists. He is. And he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. So you must believe that he is and that he will reward you. Right? But don't ask for things that you don't need. You don't need that. I always say this. Let me just say this. We ask God for what we need. We don't ask God for what we want. It's no different, right? You know what the difference, right? Yeah. You know, for example, like a person who is could not afford, you know, a good dish of roast, the sirloin, steak from Wharton, like that. Okay? So what you have is, okay, you have only about $8. So you go to this cheap Western food. Right? They have what they call grilled sirloin, small pieces like that for $8 with a piece of bread and some French fry. Right? Okay? But I said, Lord, I want a $35 one. I want $35, I want a Morton size. 1 inch thick, nice tenderloin. But do you really need that? If you only have what you have, do you want the one that you don't really need? Because you want to satisfy your stomach for food. You see, in those poor areas, poor people out there, they are satisfied with what they have. Surely they, of course, one time when I was down in Malawi, I was on transit at the airport, and so overnight, so I didn't stay at the airport, so they provide me a hotel, a Ethiopian airline, they provide me a hotel. So I was in the hotel, and well, there was some minister that came to me, to meet me, I think about four or five of them. So, well, I could see that this brother, they didn't come with food in their tummy. And ours was having dinner time, so I said, well, you folks want to eat? He said, yeah. And in the hotel, they have a buffet. Eat all you can. For how much? $10. So, okay, I told them, let's go and eat. And they have never been in a buffet before. So, when I brought them there, of course, it's a big hotel. And so these brothers come in, of course, they are not kind of clean. Right? They're not really clean because, you know, you can see that they have shirt and all that they wore for days. And they don't shave because razor blades are pretty expensive for them too, you know. So they call it unkempt. So they walk in and, the receptionist is standing down there. Look at them. Say, we are coming here for buffet. So get the money. And I said, well, let's go to the table. Okay, I told them, all the food that is laid out there, you can eat as much as you want. But again, you can eat as much as you want. I said, yeah. You can eat as much as you want. Really? I said, yes. You couldn't believe what I said. So I went and took, and they went and took. You know, I could only eat so much. You won't believe the plate that was piled up on the table. They eat and they eat. And you know, the waiter and the waitresses, you know, just look at them. You know, after all this bread, I have not been eating any good food like this. You understand? So it was a treat to them. You see, but of course, they cannot say, Lord, I want this every day. They wouldn't have it. You know, so God provides what you need and not what you want. That's the thing, you see. You can afford, it's one thing. But you cannot afford, nor ask for what you don't need. You see, ask only what you need. That's the most important thing. Okay? So when you come to Lord, we need to have faith in it. Now, this adoption thing, it's a personal, it must have, as far as our adoption to God is concerned, it's a personal invitation. John 6:44. Because we have already, if we have been predestinated, then this is an invitation for us. John 6:44. No man can come to the Father, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Right? No man can come to me except the Father draw him. So it's an invitation until the Father pulls you. Okay, John 6:37, so we read up from that top. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which see the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jew then marveled at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourself. No man come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But the condition for you to be able, when you are invited, you must admit to one thing. When you are invited, even though the Father draw you, there is one condition that you must admit. And that is in John 3, 23, we must know this condition. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must admit that we are sinners. Romans 3:23. We must admit that we are sinners. This is one condition we must admit. When the Father draws you, you must realize and admit that you are sinner, or else you can never be accepted. You understand that? With that, we have to receive the word of invitation that God has given us and put it in our heart. James 1:21. James chapter 1 verse 21. James 1 verse 21. Wherefore lay us apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So when God draws you with the gospel, you hear the gospel preached, you need to repent, because you know that you must admit that you are a sinner or a sinner. And then receive the word and engraft it into our heart. We must place it in our heart. You understand? Because God is going now, with this process, God is leading you and bring you to the place where He will adopt you. Okay, Galatians 5. But with the engrafted word in your life, what does it produce? It's something that will manifest your life. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So this is what the Word of God will do when you engraft it. Not as you will read in verse 19-21. The work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. You know, always it seems that adultery and fornication is always high on the list. Okay? Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seduction, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Just imagine, a fornicator, a drunkard, adulterer, hater, any of these things here, you can never inherit the kingdom of God. So if you hate someone, tell me about that. Because in your heart you still hate, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You fornicate before and you fornicate twice, three times, you better stop fornicating. Do you understand? There's a Bible in the Church of God that says that if a person who commits a certain fornication that is terrible, like incest, okay, give him a warning, two warnings, and the third time he did it, out he goes. You see? So you need to remember. Alright? It It's a very serious word of God here. You cannot inherit the kingdom. You can say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh no. Christians don't do such thing. Alright. And of course, with that stage, let me just close in a little while. With the word of God in our heart, being born again, now we need to grow. And grow it to maturity. Okay, here is one word I want you to know. John 1:12. Go to John 1:12. John chapter 1 verse 12. Now let us look at, let me write something on the board here. John chapter 1 verse 12, he says here, but as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now the word power, what do we understand by the word power? This is a Greek word. Now in some translation it says, privilege. I don't know. Have you any translation of privilege?
Right.
Right. Yeah, privilege, right. Okay? To become the sons of God. The word here is from the Greek word exousios. Alright. That is the word that is used here in the Greek. The right, the strength to become the sons of God, the power to become the sons of God. So this is what God is giving us. But what did He give us? Romans 8, 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together with Him. Huh. See that? It's true. We are given the spirit of adoption. With that now, let me just say this. Just put it here in case you... We have the spirit of adoption. That's a good word. Spirit of adoption. So now, the Bible says we are not given a spirit of fear. Right? We're not given a spirit of fear by adoption. So if you have the spirit of adoption, what does it make you? The word, the big word for adoption here is euthesia. Euthesia. Okay, that means to say the placing of son. The placing of son. But when you become a Christian, you get this spirit of adoption. Alright? And God is going to place you as son. But yet, at this time now, though we call ourselves sons of God, we are not what appears to be. Because the day will be manifest, it will be manifest only after the translation, after your body is changed. You understand? So, when you receive the Spirit of God, the day that you receive the Spirit of life, you are born again. Automatically, you receive this spirit of adoption. There is no such thing as what is being taught in the Philippines by some. They take 3 years before you are adopted. There is no such thing. The Bible said, in verse 15, right? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is means Father. Huh? You understand? So we are able to cry to God, Father, Father. That's the spirit of adoption, because like an orphan, like a child without father. Now, he's being picked up by a man who adopted him, right? You understand? And the father took him and said, now you're my son. You will live as my son and I'm your father. And the poor little fella, having been homeless, walking around with fatherless, you know, being kicked around there in the world, saw this nice, wonderful man who picked him, you know, the family that were adopted, and he reached out and said, oh, Father, Father, Father. Now he has someone to call Father. Have you ever seen, well, I don't know, there's some story, but a kid who doesn't know who he is. And then he saw family walking down the street, father, mother, kids, and the kids are holding the father's hand and calling the father, you know, father this, father that. And this poor father don't know, why is it that every one of them have a father, have mothers? And he doesn't know who he is. So when he saw a man walk around, he said, father, father, this one come around, father. And the man said, God, glory. You know, the poor kid doesn't know whose father he's looking for. And hoping that one of them men may be the father. You're my father? Are you my father? Have you ever seen that kind of a story or pictures or drawing like this? It's so painful, huh? Poor guy. They want to have somebody who look for them, who care for them. And that's why the moment when God, when we are born again, God give us the spirit of life, which is His spirit. And the spirit of life is also the spirit of adoption. And we can say, Father, thank you for saving my soul. The Lord bless you. We stop here. Heavenly Father, keep the rest of the word, Lord, and give it to us, Father, in our heart. Things that were and we have to be spoken, and we know that you will bring it out further, Lord, to our understanding. We thank you for that precious word of truth. We are really thankful, Lord, that we have a confident knowledge and in our relationship with you as our Father and our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for this, Lord. Keep us, Lord, in the power of the unity of the faith in this fellowship. Let us all walk in the light of thy word. And each and every one of us, Lord, be faithful to the word of truth. Daily, O Father, be watchful and in supplication. The Lord, as your Spirit leads us, help us to fulfill it. We commit this day to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.